Hello,
Doomed.
everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I am your interim host, sitting in pencilless for Ewan Rankin. And it is summer of fun. Patrice, you don't get credit often enough for being the brilliant woman behind this idea. And it's so great that there are other podcasts that have adopted the idea retroactively. That's how good this is. So thank you for coming up with the idea. And
you're
and
welcome, actually, Mike Hurley.
Yeah. And Patrice, you came up with today's topic, which is the OSs, and I'll even broaden it out in case someone's like, oh my god, I don't know which one. What features in different OSs have broken for you when Apple did updates, like to betas or even public releases? Basically, this is a war story episode. Yeah.
Do as we say, not as we do episode.
Right. Yes.
Yes.
Patrice, how are you today?
I'm doing well. I'm doing really well. It's been a cool weekend. Weather is improving and yeah, having fun here. So
awesome.
All good.
Awesome. And Ben, how's it going for you?
A lot better than during the story I'm going to tell.
You know, that's fair. All right. Chuck, how about you?
I'm in one piece, Jeff, and that's that. By the way, things that I'm measuring things, that's a good thing.
So if Chuck all of a sudden like falls apart right in front of the camera, we know what happened.
I think my problem is I'm still doing the time zone adjustment from being away last week. And so I think I'm still, you know, I'm waking up early, which it should be exactly the opposite. And that just has me completely out of sync.
That'll do it.
So what everybody's saying is that it wanted to go all the way to California.
Maybe so. Maybe so.
Yeah, could be. Yeah. Dave, how are you doing?
I am doing great. It was a crazy morning going on here at work, but I am here and glad it's Friday. Glad to be here. And
glad you're here.
Nothing exciting.
Yeah. All right. Fair warning for everyone. No spoilers or hints about the season finale of Star Trek Strange New Worlds because timing hasn't worked out. So I don't get to watch it till later today.
Okay.
It goes up.
There's a ship on this on the episode.
Yeah.
But Jeff, let's just say I will say this, and this is not a spoiler. It will live up to your expectations.
That's good. What I'm hearing.
Yeah, which it in a world that seems to be full of disappointments, it's really nice that it delivers.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Spock spoke a few times.
Yeah. Wow.
Huh.
No spoilers.
So weird. Okay. All right. Well, let's hop into it. First war story.
Did we even talk about what we are talking about?
I sort of did.
Okay. I've already forgotten.
The build up to me saying this is the war story episode. And you even went, Just like that.
Yeah, just like that. I mean, there's plenty of war stories. I mean, my most favorite one, I mean, I'm on the beta train. I'm always on the beta train. I know what to expect from betas. Everything is broken and like I know that, but I was on this Mac here on Ventura beta, which is usually more stable. I mean, yeah, it's still beta, there's still some risk, but it's more stable than Sonoma for sure. And I don't know what happened. I got upgraded to Sonoma. I did not intentionally click anything that says, yes, I want Sonoma beta. I did not switch. There's different profiles. I did not switch to the Sonoma beta profile. It's still showing as Ventura beta, but I'm on Sonoma. So that, of course, broke a ton of things. And the things that I, the reasons why I didn't want to upgrade, like the audio hijack and camos all over the place. And like I said, the things, I mean, I knew that, which is why I didn't go on the Sonoma beta. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's kind of, it kind of sucks. And I had to, like last week's Mac show, I spent an hour figuring out, because I was the only one who could run the live stream. It took me an hour to figure out audio routing too, because I'd forgotten that that was a problem. And since Audio Hijack isn't working, I had to figure out how to send the audio from Zoom to OBS so that it can be broadcast. And it took an hour. In like, while we are broadcasting, I figured it out.
Wow.
So that was, honestly, I don't remember the episode. It was intense.
That just sucks.
Yeah, it did. As I said, it's kind of self-inflicted because, yes, I was on the Ventura beta and I'm guessing something happened and they pushed out Sonoma over Ventura, whether on purpose or not, I don't know. I just know I did not switch over and I did not click on it and it just happened. So, yay.
Yeah, audio with Apple updates, especially mm-hmm. major system updates, that is always so scary.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, to be fair, Audio Hijack, because they do a lot of custom things and so on, they always, like, basically their apps stop working. And they tell you, hey, this OS is not supported and it doesn't work. And they tell you that, like, on, what was it, June 5th or whatever the keynote day was, there's a blog post up immediately, or maybe probably even the morning off before the keynote, saying, hey, do not upgrade it to the beta version if you need Audio Hijack because, well, it's not going to work. And then it takes them, well, they I think yesterday released the first test build for Sonoma. So I'm using Audio Hijack now. But I mean, who knows how stable that is, and I don't expect it to be. It's not their fault. It's my own problem. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like it's a known issue. And it's fine. Like, I know that. There was a reason why I did not install Sonoma. I have a separate volume with Sonoma for that to play with it. And it's fine. It's enough.
Mm-hmm.
So, yay. Thank you, Apple.
Yeah. Thank you, Apple. I'm glad you got it working again.
Mm-hmm.
But man, what a pain in the butt.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, I have one. This is an iOS bug that happened. I can't remember which version. It's pretty sure it's when I had my iPhone 6. And it was a point update to whichever version of the operating system, mm-hmm. system it was. Everything in the betas had been fine. When I installed the public release, it broke the phone app. Like, it didn't work. You could not send or receive phone calls. And there was... Well, is that...
It depends. I mean, for me, that would be a feature, but...
Yeah. At the time, because I needed my phone... working on my phone, it was a problem, and the fix ultimately was I had to restore my phone back to a previous state and then wait for the next update to come out to fix the problem. Now Apple quickly pulled the release that broke the phone, but not before a ton of us had already installed it.
Yeah, so. That's kind of the problem with this kind of issue. I mean, Apple only knows that something is wrong after people have already encountered the problem. And yeah, they pull it so that nobody else runs into it. But mm-hmm. people like you, too late.
Yes. Yep. And this is back in the days when there were no public betas for any of this. So the pool of testers was really limited to developers, Apple's own testing team, and the handful of intrepid users who paid for
the crazy ones
account. Yes, just so they could have betas.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, do you think that's the reason why, or probably one of the reasons why they started doing public betas?
I actually think it is.
Yeah, because I mean, that's always been a problem. Developers, I mean, we can't, as much as we like the new stuff, if we have to ship software for the existing OS, we can't upgrade and we can't use it all day then. So our devices stay on whatever the stable version is, and we might have a test device somewhere that we install it on, but we don't use it all the time. So the feedback that we're getting is mostly, hey, there's a bug in our app, maybe, like, or we found in like our app is not working, so we found a bug in OS, but not, let's say, like a phone app, for example, which is not tested.
Right. Yeah. And then us, the brave souls.
Mm-hmm.
Rushing in where angels fear to tread, installing updates right away, and watching core features on a device explode and die.
Yes. Or as I like to call us, the idiots.
Well, I'm not so sure.
Well, I was going to ask if that makes me an angel, because I do fear to tread there.
Yes.
Yes.
So, which means Chuck must now be in the corner of the angels.
Are the rules of this discussion limited to Apple, or can we talk about others?
No, you can talk about others.
Okay.
Exactly. So, some are fun.
So forgive me if I get a little preachy here, but I'm like super paranoid, and I've had a couple of these instances that you're talking about, but they're so far in the past, and I've blocked them out, so I don't remember them. But I know that I've learned the lesson so well that these, I mean, updates are, I hesitate to say dangerous, because, you know, we all know we have to do them. I don't do what you people do. I wait at least 2 or 3 days and look around. Mm-hmm. And I have a set of what I consider about 10 or 12 mission critical apps that if they went away, even for a short period of time, it would be a major inconvenience or worse. So I'm always really paranoid about any significant updates. And I have bootable backups, you know, and in case before I do any updates. So, you know, that said, what really bugs me though is when a vendor releases something and they know it breaks something and they don't give you forewarning. They just, they do their updates, and it's not going to surprise you that, you know, I've had those experiences with Microsoft where I have to use some certain Microsoft products because of work, past and present.
Mm-hmm. Same.
That's where I run into problems, you know, where they change things and don't tell you about it. They're not in the release notes, and then all of a sudden it's like, I have work to do, and you guys are screwing around with this. And you know, now I posted something in the Mac Voices Slack recently where I am deeply concerned now, because I've had an appointment that I put in. I know I put it in. I've had this a couple of times, and I thought maybe human error. This time I know it was there, and it was gone yesterday, and I had to re-enter it. And so and now you're fooling around with my calendar, and that's at least as dangerous, if not more so, than some of the other things. Oh, so
I have war stories about Microsoft as well. Like, we use them for work as well, and we have one of those zero trust systems, so Zscaler from Microsoft, and we have Intune from Microsoft, so the MDM solution, and something and Windows Defender, well, or Defender, how it's called, it also works on a Mac, is mandatory. And they released I should preface that with, I'm on the beta, or the, actually it's called preview, like preview track.
Insider.
But the insider preview, yeah, exactly. So I'm one step away from the public release. And the reason for it is because I'm one of the few people in our company that if something goes wrong, I know what to do with it, and I can warn the rest and say, hey, this is going to drop. Like our IT department, yeah, they have no clue. So I can warn our IT department and say, hey, this is going to come out soon. Please either inform Microsoft to not push the button or figure out a way to fix it. So they broke the Windows Defender release, broke something, and it didn't report in that I'm running it. And then my Zscaler blocked every connection. So I had zero connectivity to any to anything internal. And that breaks everything. Like I couldn't do any kind of work because it just wasn't working until we figured out what the reason was and rolled it back. So fortunately, we were able to roll back the Defender update and then like by deleting it and then reinstalling it from the stable version. But that sucks. That's work.
That sucks.
And I know we've laughed about this a little bit, but for mission critical apps, do you guys read the release notes before you install them? Because I do.
I do.
I know so many people that just, this has an update, click. And then they, and especially when there are 25 updates that are pending and you do all these updates and then troubleshooting becomes a nightmare.
Yeah, there's a really good place in macOS. So on iOS, you just go to the App Store and have a look there, what was installed recently. But in macOS, in the system, what's it called? System report? I'm blanking.
Yeah.
I think it's system report, yeah. In the app, there is a log. If you look under software, there's a log of everything that was installed. So if you know when the problem started happening, you can look in the log and see, that's how we figured it out. This app was installed and then all of a sudden nothing works. So that might help. That's troubleshooting there.
Yeah. I'm very cautious, I guess. And again, because I have been burned and burned badly in the past. And it's another reason that if whenever possible, I try to use Apple apps as my main productivity apps, because the odds of them breaking their own apps, yes, it's happened, but it's a lot smaller.
It has happened. Yeah. That's totally, I think that's the same approach for most people, but you need, I've proven that you need people like Jeff, like me, who are maybe a little bit more adventurous and who figure out the problem before it becomes a problem for everybody. Because if we don't do it, then you will run into it because you might not hear about it until it's too late. Like if nobody installs anything for 2 days and then everybody says, okay, now it's fine, nobody has said anything, and then everybody installs in 2 days, then everybody's effed. So you need the people to figure that out, and I'm one of them.
Yeah,
and I know how to handle it. I always have a backup plan. Like there's always a backup plan how I can handle it.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate it. I know because there are people I watch, people I know that are going to do that, and
they don't know what to do.
And not just that, but in some ways those people are okay too, because they're sounding the alarm. Even if they don't know what to do, they're the ones that have already gotten shot in the foot, and they're screaming about it. Okay, I don't want to shoot myself in the foot, so I'll let them go to the hospital, and then let all you doctors figure out what the problem is, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah. I mean, there is a risk, and you have to be aware of it. And like, I don't scream about it. I'm like, okay, this is a problem. We need to fix it, but I don't scream about it. I'm like, I knew what I was getting into.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, Ben.
Okay. This is going to be a tale of why you should A, not use betas, and B, back up some more, and then back up just for good measure.
And for breakfast, get some backup.
Right.
Yes. Okay. I forget what public beta this was, Probably either Sierra, High Sierra, or something around those lines. It was still back when I had my beloved Retina MacBook Pro.
Mm-hmm.
But I installed the beta, you know. Well, the system becomes completely corrupted.
In there.
That's
a problem. Thankfully, from working at GeekBeat, I had not only had a bootable backup, I had a clone on a OWC SSD.
Mm-hmm.
Because back in those days, you could actually replace the SSD in your Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Good times.
Yep. Yep. So I did this, stupidly reinstalled the beta. Everything's going good. Next two public beta releases, same damn thing.
So what I'm hearing is you didn't literally learn your lesson right away.
Oh, I still haven't learned my lesson. That's why I call myself an idiot.
Yeah, that was probably, I don't remember which version, but that was probably the time when Apple started working on Apple, what is it called? APFS?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, APFS. Yeah. That was probably the time, and I think there were some problems and wrote it back and so on.
Yeah, thinking back, it was.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only reason I even got back is that my backup was still in HFS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no way back then. That's the problem. Like, the only way back is to erase everything and start over, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is what I had to do of the hard drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, thankfully, using Carbon Copy Cloner, it was just click, I'm back. Mm-hmm.
Isn't it interesting though? And I guess it's because each one of us has our own little cocktail of apps and add-ons and extras that some people sail through these things with mm-hmm. no issues whatsoever. And frankly, it's not the kind of apps that are not in the app store, but just, you know, it's something about a combination of apps that suddenly, you know, makes things go wonky. Or, you know, and we haven't talked about this, and this can definitely happen. You know, there can be genuine hardware failures, like hard drives going bad or mm-hmm. motherboards going bad. And, you know, why do those happen? Hey, you know, stray cosmic rays, I have no idea, but sooner or later, we know hard drives are going to wear out. Mm-hmm. Well, it happened to me. You guys remember this just a few weeks ago when I lost my iMac with one of the hybrid drives, fusion drives. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, it just
like during the show,
5 minutes before. Yeah. I mean, it just absolutely crashed, you know, mm-hmm. and was gone. And so, you know, why did it pick? Well, it picked that time just to spite me, but you know, but so you have to be aware of all of these things, not just when we're installing updates, but just at any given moment, something you depend on could die. And you just need to be prepared to think about, even if none of us can afford to have an extra Mac or two just sitting around, but you know, you better have some plans about what you would do if you had to stay in production, but your main systems died.
Yeah, and I think you like point out one thing that's quite important. Software is probably the most complex human-made thing. Yeah, and I mean, if you think about that's why I never fault Apple for bugs. I mean, sure, here and there, there's a stupid mistake where you're like, okay, how did that go through? I mean, it's humans. Mistakes happen. But for the most part, it is, I mean, it is so complex. We are all using things differently. We have all different histories, like how old is our Mac? How many OS updates have we made? What hardware issues might we have on our systems that we don't even notice? And all of that makes it really complicated to do proper testing with all circumstances, because that's like an infinite number of combinations at the end, almost. And so, I mean, Apple does a really, really good job trying to test everything and trying to build in safety systems that even if something is broken, that it still can somehow recover. But at the end of the day, bugs are inevitable. Like, it's just part of life. So you're right. You need a backup plan.
Yeah. I mean, I do have a couple extra Macs that I can use.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to. I mean, you know, the Mac Minis are what I fell back on. If there's ever, God forbid, or ever were to have them, I've got that cloned exactly how this MacBook Pro is, and I'm ready to move over to it in any given moment. But there's been plenty of times, like I had my Intel MacBook Pro absolute fail on me. The system board went out, and you know, the big, like you said, Ben, backup, and I realized I missed backup. I think I hadn't had it backed up probably for like 4 or 5 days, so lost a little bit, but at least I had the backup, and that's the thing. And then
that's the worst.
And the good thing is I sent the Mac into Apple, and they had turned around and got back to me like two to three days tops, so it wasn't so bad. So, but yeah, you're right. You gotta have a backup, a contingency plan in place.
Yeah, that's the worst. when you think you have a backup, and then you notice you don't, or it's a couple of days old.
Well, yeah, I'm going nuts with backup. Like, I mean, I just signed up for Backblaze. I hadn't had Backblaze for ever, so I finally decided to do that. And plus, I got three SSDs sitting here in front of me. Yeah, exactly. Three SSDs sitting here. Not only a Time Machine backup, I also have the Carbon Copy Cloner backup too. So I mean, we all have our, like you said, we all have our ways of doing things, but. Plus using all the cloud services, you just make sure you're backing up. That's the big thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason I have made the adage that computers are closer to black magic than science. There is so especially, I mean, at this point, Mac OS and Windows are so old with so much legacy code in there. There's always going to be unintended consequences that nobody can foresee. Stuff that should work will not work. Stuff that you would never think would work in a trillion years and are trying just for the hell of it works. And nobody knows why, because you're like going through 17 trillion lines of code.
Yeah. There isn't in the development sphere, there's this, I think it's a meme somewhere, but the phases of fixing bugs in systems, and it always starts with this can't happen, and then it's like, why does this happen? And then at the end you come out with, how did that ever work? It's like,
I mean I can tell some stories from when I was working at the Geek Squad, because literally it would be try the fix that should work, it doesn't work. Try a bunch of other stuff, it doesn't work. Try the thing that literally should not work, and that's the thing that fixes the computer. You know, people in tech support look like geniuses at times, but we just literally throw stuff to the wall and see what sticks.
I always say we're good at guessing.
That's a great way to put it.
That's a really good way to put it. If I can make one other point too, I mean, somehow this devolved into a backup discussion, but something that I know it happened to me once and I learned my lesson. And that is that your data files are critical, right? All right. But they're relatively easy ways to take care of that. David mentioned Backblaze. You can, even if you just do raw copies of your documents folder off, you know, you're going to have a lot of it. The thing though, that I've discovered after, you know, being someone who, you know, has had a Mac for a long, long time, you customize your environment. and you with third party utilities and where you want things and how you like things set up. Mm-hmm. Something as simple as your dock, and you know, you may have it on the bottom, you may have it the right, the left. You've taken things out, you've put things in. When you lose that, I mean, first of all, you kind of can't remember how it was set up, and then you go for something and it's not there. And so that to me is, if there's no other reason to make a bootable clone, it's that one. You want to preserve your production environment. Otherwise, it'll take you a couple of weeks, not necessarily of solid work, but just of going for something, realizing it's not there, and then having to go back, install it, find your license number, or you know, whatever it is you need to get it set up, then check the preferences to get it back to where you want it. That all sucks up an incredible amount of time.
Oh, yeah. Going back to standard macOS, just out of the box, truly annoys me because it's got none of my little customizations that I've depended on for like the last way too many years. Yeah. Way too many years.
I totally get it. Yeah. A stock Mac, it feels hobbled to me.
Yeah. But a lot of people like doing nuke and pave too. You end up doing it that way. But I don't like doing that. I would prefer to just restore things and go from, you know, just continue on with upgrades, you know. Usually it's fine. So, but
yeah, well, if
nuke and pave is such a such a pain in the butt. I mean, there's so much work.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, especially with all the command line stuff I have to go in and customize.
Oh, yeah.
Like beta, if you don't know what you're doing, don't do it.
Well, Dave, to your point, there's so many great cleaning utilities out there now that, you know, I've sometimes wonder about the true necessity of nuke and pave. At times, sure, but now we have all kind of cleaning utilities that will get rid of some of your old cruft. If you do a proper uninstall of applications that you're no longer using, that doesn't mean just dragging the app to the trash, but you know, using one of the uninstall, either the uninstall that comes with it or one of the other utilities, so it gets rid of all the preference files and everything. I'm not going to argue with the folks who swear by nuke and pave. Good for you, but Dave, I'm with you. You know, I don't want to take that much time if I don't have to, absolutely have to.
Well, you mentioned the utilities. Hazel is a must. You have to have Hazel running. Hazel is awesome because you when you're ready to get rid of an app, you drag it into the trash and boom, it finds all that cruft and puts it right into the trash, and you got a clean install. I mean, then I clean my Mac, which is part of SetApp. I run that a lot to keep things clean. So I'll change subject real quick. I'll go tell you one of my horror stories. Like I always think about, not always, but I just started thinking about it as of today for this show, is there's a time, it's going back ways. I had the iPhone 4S, and you know that's an older phone, and I used to have that glass back on it, right? Mm-hmm. So, and you know where this is going. So I had just got the phone, and I was preparing to do my presentation at the Apple user group, you know, as I used to do when I was doing sessions on iOS, and I'm with my wife, and I have the phone. I just purchased it from Apple and got it. It was in the box, but I took it out, had my hand, didn't have a case on it yet, and got out of the car, falls out of my hand, crashes to the ground.
Oh, brand new.
Brand new, absolutely brand new. So the backing was shattered. So so I'm like, oh, great, how am I going to get this? And I'm my presentation was like in 45 minutes. So what am I going to do? So my wife luckily was kind enough to run over to the Apple store. I said, see if they'll replace it, you know, because it was an accident. It happens. And they just replaced the whole phone. And she brought it back within a half hour after. And I got to do the presentation and was happy. But those are the kind of things that you got epic fails when it comes to that kind of stuff. And it, you know, it happens. I can go back to other stories. I remember having my MacBook Pro sitting on a TV tray. I was, you know, we were hanging out with my friends and water spills all over it and trashed it. and brought it to Apple, and then they basically replaced every part in it and covered it under warranty. So you got those kind of stories are always fun to think back, and good you have Apple Care.
That's right. Oh my God, Epic feels like that just hurt so bad. Yeah, you know what's not an Epic fail? TSO hosts, because they are TSO awesome. Hosts. That's right. Okay, so why am I talking about TSO hosts? Well, if you don't know, that means you either haven't watched a British Tech Network show before, or you just don't pay attention. And either one is totally reasonable. Okay, here's the deal. TSO hosts, they do website hosting and help people buy domain names, and they're taking what they do so well and they are bringing it to us at the British Tech Network. They're giving us the infrastructure we need so that we can live stream shows every week. So we have a place for the website. So we have a place for all of the recordings to live, so you can watch or listen to episodes anytime you want. What it takes to make all of that happen is way beyond what we would be able to make happen on our own. Mm-hmm. So TSO hosts, they like being part of the community. They like giving back to the community, and they're doing that through us, which we really appreciate. So without TSO hosts, we would not be here. Now, it's super easy for all of us to show our appreciation for their generosity. Just go out on your favorite social media and let TSO hosts know that you appreciate that they are here supporting the British Tech Network. Super easy to do, only takes a minute. You'll feel good because you're giving them a nice thank you. They'll feel good because they have some feedback letting them know that the community is aware that they are here and that they're doing a good thing. So go give them some online love, please. All you have to do. They're making it a little cooler though for everyone. If you need to buy domain names, because that's something they make super easy, use TSO hosts. And if you're buying a domain name, you probably need a website to go with it. So go ahead and add in your hosting package to your cart, and then add in the code BTN20, and you'll get 20% off your order. So not only are they being incredibly generous by supporting us, by giving us the resources we need to be here, they're giving you a discount just because you're part of the BTN family. So thank you to TSO hosts for being here and supporting us. And now, Patrice, would you mind telling people where they can find our chat?
Of course, I would love to do that. And it's super easy to join our live chat. So if you are listening to this live, which you can do if you're not doing that already, if you can do that, just join us every Friday, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac Show. And also, by the way, Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time for the Big Show, if you are into the non-Apple side of things. And yes, we are also doing Summer of Fun there. So there were some really cool episodes so far. We did a foodie flashback takeover yesterday. What did we talk about yesterday?
We talked about robots.
Oh, we did. Yeah, like all kinds of robots in let's say, television and so on. It was super interesting. And then you head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and you're in. That's how easy it is. And then you can talk to us, like Bob Beach is, for example, doing. You can see if you're posting any links for cool things or for news stories or other interesting links. We put that in the chat room and you can see all of that. So it's that easy. But let's say you are listening to this in the recorded form in your favorite podcast player of choice, which, I mean, it's totally fine. That's why we do it, and not everybody can join us at that time. It's like when we record, like it's just not possible for a lot of people that work or have other obligations, and it's fine, or just don't want to, which is also totally okay. That's what podcasts are for. And you can not join the live chat then because, well, that doesn't work. Unless you have a time machine. But you can at least see what was talked about at the chat. So if you're curious, you're like, oh, like what did Bob Beach say? And like what cool links did they post and all of that? Like what is the cool thing that Jeff talked about 8 weeks ago? We have a chat transcript. There's a little bot in our chat and it collects everything and puts it up on our website. And all you have to do to get to that is you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there's a calendar that pops up and you have to put in a date and you put in the date for the recording. So today's recording date, for example, is the 11th of August, 2023. And if you do that, then you will see everything that was talked about.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that, Patrice.
You're welcome.
And sorry about my my voice today. No surprise. Allergies.
Oh, no.
No, it's okay. It's that time of the year. And I've lived through it every year so far. So the odds seem to be in my favor.
We're glad to hear that, Jeff.
I'm very glad to hear that, yeah.
Yeah. And in the chat, Bob Beach is asking if it's too many podcasts. And
yes.
No, there's no such thing.
No such thing.
Yeah. No. You can never do too many podcasts. Now, I understand there's two ways to interpret that, and it's up to you which you feels appropriate for me.
Or inappropriate, depending on the context.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's summer, and I think we deserve time to kind of kick back and chill a little bit and enjoy the summer days before fall hits. So let's wrap up so we can all go do that. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, since I just mentioned the two shows that we're doing on BTN, the Big Show and the Mac Show. So you can find me on both of them every week, Thursdays for the Big Show, Fridays for the Mac Show. Feel free to join that. If you want to figure out more about what I'm doing, all like the social media, all the 47,000 social media networks that are out there, all the podcasts, the projects, literally everything I'm doing, you can go to my website, thepatrice.com, because there's only one, and figure that out. That's how easy it is. And if you want to like listen to another podcast like with really cool people talking about their food related stories and memories and just everything that goes with that, then head over to foodieflashback.com for my interview show.
Awesome. All right, Ben, where can people find you?
Well, Jeff, you can find me on the aforementioned 47,322 different social networks. At Ben Rathig. You can find me at rathig.tech, my website. On Tuesday nights, you can find me with that Chuck Joyner guy on Mac Voices. On Thursday nights, you can find me hanging out with that Dave Ginsburg guy on In Touch of iOS. Thursday and Friday here on the Breck, the Brexit channel. The British Tech Network for the Mac and Big Shows. It helps when you try not to combine different sentences.
Sentence contractions. I kind of like that idea. And clearly, it's working out well for you.
It is.
Let's just go with that. Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com is where you want to go. That's where you'll find links to pretty much everything that you can think of. As I believe Ben said, we do Mac Voices live Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time that is, wherever you are. If you show up there, you'll see a lot of the faces here on a pretty regular basis and some on a little less regular basis. And on all the social networks, all the ones that I pay attention to, and I pay attention to an embarrassingly lot of them. I'm at Chuck Joyner.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. And Dave, where can people find you?
You can find me at In Touch with iOS, at intouchwithios.com. You also can find me on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm on Mac Voices Live, as Chuck mentioned, on Tuesday nights, as well as here on Fridays. And I'm on Mastodon at Dave G65.
Awesome. I'm so happy all of you are here. All right, in the chat, Bob Beach is bummed that we're not doing any cool things as part of Summer of Fun. So maybe
Bob, you are the cool thing.
List of possible topics, a whole episode of just cool things.
Jeff, I had literally this exact same idea, and I literally just put it in the chat.
Excellent.
Same idea.
And I see that right there. It's in the chat. All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's do that. I'll throw it in the list.
Awesome. Cool. All right. So where can people find me? Let's see. Social medias. Jay Gamut on basically everything. If you want to see me most active, go to Mastodon or Instagram. And then shows. Chuck keeps letting me on Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays. Dave keeps letting me on In Touch with iOS on Thursdays. Ewan keeps letting me be the interim host on the Big Show and the Mac Show. This is crazy.
And Jeff keeps letting him on the Costex Machine.
Yeah, Brian and I keep letting each other on the context machine.
No, because you know it's Brian's show. You know that.
Yeah, it's it's
Brian's, or so he thinks. Yes.
we'll let Brian keep thinking that, and mm-hmm. And I'm totally fine with that. All right, yeah. So this has been great. Thank you to all of you for being here. You are awesome, and. Chuck, you're raising your hand.
I'm raising my hand because I just want, before we go, I want to make a point that if you show up in the chat like Bob Beach does and you make a request, we do our best to fulfill it. So mm-hmm. you should be here live in that chat room so you can tell us what you want to see and hear, and then we'll go out and try to do it.
Yes. Unless that request is for money, because we don't have any.
And we can't make it.
Good point.
Yes.
We can invent our own currency. And then,
oh, that's true. The BTN bucks.
Yeah, BTN bucks. the latest in digital currency.
Yes, from
10 Muller Bikers, 1 Yuan. Is that how it works?
Yes. Yes. We have gone from podcasters to cryptocurrency scammers in one outro.
Just like that.
Well, thank you to all of you for being here. You are awesome, and I love getting to kick off my weekend with all of you. This is just so nice. And everyone that's watching or listening live, thank you for being here. You're awesome. If you've been participating in the live chat, thanks for being there too. Everyone that watches or listens to the shows later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. Ewan, thank you for being you. And Muller, get better soon. And thanks for making sure we have people for shows. TSL hosts, thanks for being here supporting us. Give them some online love, people. And let's see. Next Thursday, the Big Show. Next Friday, the Mac Show. We're still in Summer of Fun. So be sure and tune in so you can see what we're going to talk about. And we'll know about the same time you do. So it'll be a surprise for all of us. And
maybe a little bit after.
All of the thank yous. So with that, everyone, have an awesome weekend, and we will see you next week.